singing this morning again, give the letter. Brother Rose, if you'd gotten here a few minutes earlier, you'd have been leading the singing.
I know about that.
Didn't see you till I already had the numbers picked out. I know we're expecting to hear a sermon on the resurrection today, and you're not going to be disappointed. Preach on the resurrection. I hope you received the bulletin this morning. There's an outline on the back of it if you'd like to follow along. The lesson comes from the scripture that was read to us this morning. But not only is there, as we see your point number one in your notes, an open tomb, but there are six other openings that follow that opening of the tomb. So then after the tomb is open, you remember in the scripture that was read to us, the two men of the angels said to the people that had come to the tomb, do you remember? Remember what he said? So we're going to look at, not only was the tomb open, but their memory was open. They go, oh yes. And then there, after Jesus reads or gives to them the scripture and the prophecies, their eyes are open. So that's points number three and four. Their eyes are open, and as Jesus opened the scriptures to them. And then number five, in the open hands before Jesus is ascended back to the Father, he blesses them with open hands. And then number six, we're going to see that the door to heaven is open because he ascended into heaven, and he's going to say, where I am, there you will one day be also. So the heavens are open. And then the last one, he opened a new day of grace because of some of the last words of Jesus before he ascended. He mentions the graciousness of God in providing forgiveness for our sins. He's going to say, before I leave, I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the last things that's on Jesus' mind is that good news, gospel message of forgiveness of sins. So that's the lesson this morning. So let's go by way of introduction again. To many of Jesus' disciples, the crucifixion was the end. They thought it was over. Because just a few days earlier, preceding the weekend, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was arrested. And many of the apostles or the disciples fled. They ran away. And then Jesus had been betrayed by Judas in that Garden of Gethsemane. And then in his arrest, he goes through a series of mock trials. Then he's scourged. He's delivered to be crucified. He dies on the cross. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus come to Pilate and beg for the body of Jesus, and Pilate grants them that wish, so they take the body of Jesus down from the cross and they put him in a tomb. I thought that's it. It's over. Our master teacher, Jesus, is gone. Doors closed. Finished. Up no more. That's the conclusion. The amen. Let's go home. But then, in the text we read this morning, Luke 24, we have the grand announcement by two men or the angels at the tomb of Jesus. When they come to prepare the body for additional burial spices, they hear the announcement, he's not here. He's risen. So this is the beginning of the openings in Luke chapter 24. It's the rest of the story, we say. So first, let's note the open tomb. And the Bible gives us some information about that. In Luke 24, beginning of verse 1, again, first day of the week, early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher. They brought the spices that they prepared and certain others with them, small group. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in. Let's look. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. But it's interesting, you see, the tomb was not supposed to be opened. The story is written in Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. The next day, now this is the day after the crucifixion, chief priests and Pharisees came to Pilate. Oh, this is before the resurrection. And they said, Pilate, we remember that deceiver, here are the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people calling Jesus, that great deceiver. Remember what he said when he was alive? He said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So they said to Pilate, would you command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day? Pilate, would you do that? Otherwise, they said, Pilate, the disciples will come by night and they'll steal him away. And then they'll just say, he's risen from the dead. So Pilate said, you have a watch, you know, guard. Go your way and make it as sure as you can. So they went. They made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Wow, that tomb's not going to be open. These scribes and Pharisees said, by the way, we don't want that Jesus to escape. We don't want him out. So they sent the guard, they sealed the stone around it. Wow. Well, in Matthew 28, verse 2, Matthew records the opening of the tomb this way. Angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and pulled back the stone from the door and sat on it, waiting for these ladies to come. You see, the tomb was open so that the disciples could see in. God wanted to be sure that they could see that it was empty. The disciples didn't steal the body. They didn't falsely claim a resurrection. God had a hand in it. The tomb was empty and the stone was rolled away by the angel. So that's the first opening. Then the second opening, as the story continues in the book of Luke chapter 24, you have the open memory. The angel says to the women at the tomb in Luke 24, as read to us this morning, the angel said to them, they come with the spices, they were going to prepare the body. The angel said, he's not here. He's risen. And then he said, remember how he, meaning Jesus, spoke to you when he was on the way in Galilee? You remember that? And Jesus said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, Jesus said that, and the third day rise again. You remember? Oh, this next phrase is, and they remembered his words. Oh, that's right. That's right. See, Jesus foretold of this event. In Matthew 12, verse 40, Jesus said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 18, the Son of Man must be betrayed under the chief priests and scribes. They'll condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify, and the third day he shall rise. Wow. It's recorded again in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus said, destroy this temple, in other words, this body, in 3 days, I'll rise it up. So the angel says to the ladies that came to the tomb, remember what he said during his ministry when he's up by Galilee? Oh, that's right. That's right. So the memory was opened. The ladies remembered that, and then they left to tell the others. The tomb is empty. You know, today's tombs that we have in our cemeteries, they're famous for the bodies that they contain. But this tomb is famous for it being empty. He's not here. Not here. He's risen. So we have, first of all, the open tomb. And then the open memory. Oh, that's right. I remember him saying that. Number three, you know, there's the, oh, he opened their eyes. It's in verse 31, later on, way later on in the chapter. But verse 35, it just simply says, their eyes were opened and they knew him. They didn't recognize him at the first when they met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. So, but before their eyes could be opened, they had to remember the scriptures, the prophecy. In verse 11 and 12 of Luke chapter 24, it says it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. He's not here. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. So you go tell the apostles, and they say, really? They believed them not. Oh. Verse 16 says, their eyes were holden that they should not know him or recognize him. The story continues that when they met Jesus on the road, when they left, they thought, oh, that's the gardener, isn't it? But in verse 25, he, meaning Jesus, said to them, oh, foolish and slow heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ah, it's like the angel said that when they opened the tomb. Don't you remember, ladies? He said he would rise the third day. That's right. But the other, they'll go tell the other apostles, really? Really? So when Jesus meets up with all of them, he said, oh, you're slow of heart to believe. So Jesus begins to teach them from the scriptures. And then when Jesus teaches them from the scriptures, their eyes are open. So evidently, after the resurrection and the empty tomb, and Jesus meets these ladies, Jesus didn't want them to recognize him in the flesh until they had seen him in the scriptures. But he said, oh, slow of heart to believe. Wanted to give them the evidence, the testimony. You saw the empty tomb. Yeah, that's right. And no doubt Jesus wanted them to know him on the basis of faith. He wanted them to know him believing the scriptures. So point number four kind of goes along with point number three, because now he opened the scriptures to these ladies. And when he opened the scriptures, he opened their eyes. It's in verse 32. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Oh, that's right. So he begins by saying, oh, you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In verse 27, the story continues. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, meaning Jesus, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Ah, don't recognize me, ladies? Let me open the scriptures to you. You're slow of heart to believe. Oh, here's the prophecies. Then in verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. I wish the author, Luke, would have said which scriptures he opened. Because I'd like to open those scriptures to open people's eyes. I wish I knew what scriptures will open your eyes to see Jesus. What's it going to take if you're slow of heart to believe? What do I need to say? What verses do I need to read to convince you that Jesus is the Christ and that you will be a follower of him? Oh, Luke, tell me what he said. You know, I know there were lots of prophecies. You know, in Genesis 49, verse 10, he'd be born of the tribe of Judah. In Isaiah 9, verse 7, he would be in the line of David. The prophecy of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, said he'd be born in Bethlehem. In Isaiah 7, verse 14, the prophet said he'd be born of a virgin. In Psalm 41, verse 9, it said he'd be betrayed by a disciple. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, it said he would be silent at his trial. In Psalm 22, verse 16, it says his hands and feet would be pierced. In Psalm 69, verse 20, it said he would be given vinegar and gall. In Psalm 22, verse 18, it says it prophesied his garments would be divided by casting lots. In Psalm 24, verse 20, it says not a bone would be broken in his crucifixion. Wow, lots of prophecies. I wonder which ones Jesus told to open their eyes. What's it going to take to open your eyes to see Jesus? Jesus opened the scriptures. He gave the sense. He made the application. He revealed himself to them from the scriptures, opened their understanding, and then in verse 31, their eyes are opened. See, a lot of people may know the scriptures. They may know a few verses. They may quote part of the Bible, but they don't have understanding. Jesus revealed to them somewhat what they already knew. Because the angel said, do you remember what he said when he was with you in his ministry? Oh, that's right. That's right. When Philip preaches to the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8, verse 30, he sees him riding along in his chariot. And Philip runs, and it says in Acts 8, verse 30, Philip ran to him, heard him read from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, Philip says to the Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? No, he said, how can I except someone guide me? He says to Philip, of whom is this prophet speaking? I don't know. I know the prophet. I know what he says. But I don't know who he's talking about. So Philip joined himself to the chariot, and beginning from that scripture, preached unto him Jesus, the fulfillment of the prophecies. And the Ethiopian's eyes are open. And as he preaches unto him Jesus, the Ethiopian interrupts Philip's sermon. He says, see, here's water. What hinders or anything stopping me from being baptized? Philip says, if you believe, you may. He made his confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip said, stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptizes him. They came up out of the water, and it mentions again both Philip and the Ethiopian. And the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Oh, rejoicing? Why? Having believed and having his eyes open. I understand now. I understand. The one purpose of Scripture or the Bible message is to persuade people to know Jesus. In the Gospel of John, when he closes out his Gospel in chapter 20, beginning of verse 30, it says, many other signs or wonders or miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. But then he said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. Oh, the opening of the scriptures. These are written that you might have life. So we want to read the scriptures, we want to study, we want to understand and ask our questions. Open the scriptures that you might believe. That's the evidence, that's the testimony. That's the witness. Yeah. So we find that Jesus when he opened the scriptures, opened their eyes. The value of God's word opened my eyes. Then number five, he opened his hands that give a blessing in verse 50. After Jesus sees his disciples and he's opened the scriptures and opened their eyes, he gives that final message, and then he leaves and goes out to Bethany, and from that point then he is ascended back to heaven. But his hands are open first. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, and blessed them. When Jesus left, it wasn't with a clenched hand that says, I'm going to come back soon and I'll get them for this. He didn't say that. His hands were open for a blessing. I want to bless you, disciples. I've opened the scriptures and opened your eyes. And so because of Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, he's opened spiritual blessings for us. In Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us, we here today. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So we can receive a blessing too. Just as Jesus blessed his disciples before he ascended back to the Father. He opened his hands and blessed them. Blessed them. Then number six, he opened the door to heaven. Still in verse 51, came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Ascended into heaven. Now that's important because Jesus didn't close the door behind him. He didn't say, go into heaven and look back and say, sorry, you guys can't come here. He didn't get open, the doors weren't open into heaven. He didn't go back to heaven and say, let's close the doors. Sorry, people, it was nice knowing you for those 3 years of ministry. No. During his ministry, he said in John chapter 14, verse 1, you believe in God? They probably said, oh yeah. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go. Oh, you're going. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Yeah. I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, that's right. Jesus opened the door to heaven. It's open. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, the Hebrew writer says, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Oh, here's something you can hang on to. An anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast. Here's our hope. That Jesus entered into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us, enter, even Jesus. Where Jesus is, we will one day go. That's our hope. That's our faith. He led the way. He opened the way for us. It's in Luke 24. He ascended there. So the last point we make, he opened a new day of grace for us. Here's how to follow him. Jesus said it this way in Luke 24, beginning verse 46. His last words. Now Matthew records his last words as saying, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Mark records it in Mark, in Jesus' final words, as saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned. Luke records it this way with some additional information. Luke records it in Luke 24, verse 46. Jesus said, thus it is written, it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached to all nations, in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. He told his disciples, stay in the city until you receive power from on high. And then having said that, then he goes to Bethany and he parts from them. 10 days later, They are in Jerusalem at the right place, the right time. It's 50 days after the Passover, this Jewish celebration of Pentecost. And the apostles are there, and they preach to all these devout Jews from every nation. And the apostles preach in Acts chapter 2 and verses 20 through 22 that they have slain, by wicked hands, have slain the Son of God. In verse 47, they stand up and preach and continue preaching this Jesus, and they tell again, whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And they were cut to the heart. They cried out, men and brethren, so stop the sermon, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. And that's the last words of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, 10 days earlier. I want repentance and remission of sins preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem. So they cried out, what shall we do? He didn't say we can't do anything. He said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because to you is promised, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as may the Lord God shall call. And with many other words, he testified, he exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked, untoward generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. There were added to them that day about 3,000 souls. Verse 47, the Lord added to them daily those who were being saved. Who were being saved? Oh, that door that Jesus opened, that day of grace, of forgiveness, that door. Verse 41, the door's open for those who gladly received his word and were baptized. And that's the invitation we extend to you. It's a day of grace, opportunity. We sing a song of encouragement at the close of each lesson. Song of invitation. Song of exhortation. So with many other words, you know, we plead, we exhort, we encourage. Not obeyed the good news gospel message by being baptized, you have that opportunity. You just simply need to let your resolve be known. That's your desire. You had that opportunity this morning. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If that's your desire, resolve, be baptized for remission of sin, you can accomplish it.